This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Outdoor Edge in their complete lineup of knives and game processing kits. These guys right now are doing an absolutely huge giveaway where you could win an elk hunt, and not just any elk hunt. We're talking about a 7 or 8 mile horseback ride into the backcountry. We're talking a one-on-one guided hunt. You're going to be sleeping in a wall tent, and you're going to be doing that for 5 days with the founder and CEO of Outdoor Edge, David Block. Now, if you've never been on an elk hunt before, I'm telling you right now, go sign up for this, because if you ever hear a elk bugle, whether it's at 400 yards or it's at 40 yards, it is a life-changing experience. So here's how you enter. Go to OutdoorEdge.com. There's going to be a big banner for it somewhere on their homepage. All you have to do is click on that. Go fill out some information. I think your name, your email address, maybe some other stuff. And that's all you have to do. That's how you are entered. They're going to be picking a winner, a ways from now. So you have plenty of time to enter. Go visit OutdoorEdge.com. Sign up today. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Ohio Huntsman Podcast. And this week, as you've heard us talk in the past, Jeff is getting into waterfowl hunting. So we thought, kind of like our episode on how much does it cost to kill a deer, we would do an episode on what it's cost Jeff to get into waterfowl hunting. Because while some things can be shared, you know, there's a lot of new and different things that you need to do waterfowl hunting. So that's what we get into this week. Before we get into that, though, I want to talk about our sponsor, Monster Whitetail Grub. So Monster Whitetail Grub is a deer feed company, and they have anything that you would need for a deer feed and supplementation standpoint. So they've got their signature Monster Whitetail Grub feed, which is a high protein feed with mineral mixed in. We've had really good success with that. They've also got flavored corn, so it sort of steps up your corn, turns it into a long-range attractant, and they've got all different kinds of flavors you can pick from. And then they've got just straight mineral. If you just want powdered mineral, they've got that also. So whatever you need, they have it. Check them out. Go to ohiohuntsman.com/sponsors, and you can get in touch with them and find out which retailers they're in, because I've been seeing on their Facebook that they are getting into more and more retail locations. So if there's a retail location near you, you can stop in and pick some up or get in touch with them directly and figure out what the best way is to get the product. Now, our usual updates at the beginning of the episode. So first thing I'm going to start with is there's been a buzz on the internet. Some of you listeners have brought this to our attention that with the new state parks maps that have come out, it looked like they were no longer going to allow hunting on some of the state park lands that have traditionally been open for hunting. And Jake, Jeff, you guys jump in here if I misspeak on any of this, but so, you know, you guys reached out to us. We thought, well, that's weird. We hadn't heard anything about that. So we reached out to the ODNR directly and finally got in touch with the right person. And what it looks like is some of these maps went out maybe prematurely, or some of the information got left off accidentally. And in this, as you guys, I'm sure, all know, the ODNR is in a website migration phase right now. And so in all of the, I don't know what the word, confusion, I don't know, I don't want to say turmoil, but you know how, you know, migrating a website can be a bit of a pain, right? There's a lot of moving
in
pieces.
In the transition.
Yeah, that's perfect. The transition phase of migrating things to the new website, it got left off. So we have confirmed they are working on updating the maps and getting them on the new website, but hunting at the state parks, and now, I mean, this isn't permission to hunt at any state park. You still need to confirm that particular state park is open and this and that, but the ODNR is not taking away access to a bunch of state park land. That because that was the concern, right? None of these state parks say that you can hunt there anymore. So that was just I'll say a clerical error, if you will. It got left off the maps and they got loaded to the new site. And so in that transition, things got kind of messed up. They are in the process of fixing that. And I guess the takeaway is they have not taken away a bunch of state land access for hunting. So wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, and another thing is, yeah, some of the maps for the wildlife areas are also old maps. They're not the most recent maps that got uploaded.
Oh, okay.
So you may notice, like, oh, well, you know, you used to be able to hunt this piece of the wildlife area, and now you can't. In some of those cases, that's clearly just an error. So they give you contact information for the wildlife areas. You can reach out to them, reach out to the county game warden, reach out to the ODNR customer service line to verify on those. But some of the maps for the wildlife areas are also not the most up-to-date maps.
Yeah, good point. So before you see something on the new website and go, you know, start raising the red flags, oh my gosh, you know, you might want to check with, like Jeff said, you know, any of those list of contacts and verify that it wasn't just something that happened in error during the transition, the migration to the new website. So anything new with you guys? Dove season and squirrel season will be open by the time people hear this. Anything else going to be open?
Let's see. No, not by the time people hear this. It'll be real close to teal and goose season.
Okay.
But, yeah, weather's starting to cool off.
Yeah. Getting cool evenings. Yeah. Jeff, you doing anything? I've decided I went through my dove prep, and I'm going to run, last year I ran an improved cylinder choke. This year I'm going to run modified, and I got a couple more boxes of shells, so I think I'm ready to go. My gun's got the plug in it, so We're all good there.
Yeah. I think I'm going to start off with a full choke in and switch out if need be. Because last year we had a lot of long shots. We weren't getting those close, quick shots. We were getting, you know, birds flushing out away from us, or, you know, they're trying to fly into the treetops. So those were long shots, and I don't think I had enough range on, you know, to hit them. So I'm, you know, I wasn't hitting them with enough pellets to knock them down and kill them.
Yeah.
You know, because we dusted quite a few birds last year, and they just kept flying.
Yeah.
Put some plugs in some shotguns. Yeah. Because I got some new shotguns this year. Which was kind of funny because I asked my wife, I said, you know, what shotgun do you want to use for dove season? She's like, I don't know, the one that you're not using. It's like, well, I have other shotguns, you know, like I have more than two shotguns. So, you know, which one of these are you looking to use? You know, and I brought them all out. And of course, and my 20 gauge is old, you know, it's a very old shotgun. And obviously that's the one she really wanted to use because it's way lighter than the others.
Right.
Well, it was a little bit of a challenge to figure out, okay, well, how do I plug this thing? You know, I recently inherited it, and it's like, how do I put a plug in this thing? Because, you know, and because basically it was, I don't think the tube on it had ever been opened. You know, so it was just a little gummed up. So it was hard to figure out. And it just had a metal cap that you have to pry out to get into the tube. And just sure didn't seem like you were supposed to be prying that out. But that's definitely what you're supposed to be doing. So that's all set up. So guns are set up.
Good deal.
I have my Mojo wind powered spinning wing decoy put together, and I'm trying to figure out exactly how much wind it needs.
Oh, right.
You know, to work, because it's, I don't know, it's kind of finicky, it seems. Like I'm having a hard time. I think what the problem is it's, you know, real sensitive to the amount of wind. So like just a little bit of a, like some tall grass or something can diffuse the wind enough to not make the wings spin.
Oh, I see.
You know, like you can move it like a couple feet in a different direction and the wings spin. And it, to me, it feels like, oh, the wind's the same between here and there, but apparently it's not.
How heavy is it? Like, could you clip it to the top of a corn stalk? Kind of let it catch if there's corn where we're planted.
I mean, it would have to be a pretty strong corn stalk.
Okay.
You could definitely clip it to like a thicker tree branch, you know, if you had one that had enough clearance around it.
Sure.
Or put it on a fence post. But it's not super heavy, but also a corn stalk's not that structurally sound either.
Right. So. Especially not up toward the top, I guess, yeah.
Right.
All right.
Jake, maybe anything? I'll just put it on a hat or something, wear it around.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, slightly. No, not really. I set my ground blind up. Kids went and helped me do that, so that was cool. tried to open up a few mock scrapes to see if I can maybe try and draw some bucks in with some scrapes. I know it's still a little early, but I'm trying different things. So,
yeah.
So I opened up a couple mock scrapes. I haven't. The day I opened them up, it was the day it was raining all day. So I went back yesterday and kind of freshened them up with some scent. So I haven't seen anything in them or on them yet, but we'll see. My hope is that I can get the does looking at it, and then the one or two young bucks that I have running around start playing with it. I'm hoping if I can just get one curious big boy to come over, that'll open up the floodgates and everybody will start using it. But
yeah,
we'll see. I don't know. It's worth a try, I guess. So
yeah,
that's really about all I got going. I did not make any changes, which I guess is probably a silly decision on my part for dove season, because I didn't have a whole lot of success last year, but I'm just running the same thing I ran last year. You know, definition of insanity.
Well, and we know better this year, though, like what
right.
to expect, and yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm excited to get the season started. Like I was telling you kind of before we started recording, got up this morning and went outside, and it felt like a crisp fall morning instead of the hot, sticky, nasty that it's been. So it's coming, and that's kind of got my juices flowing.
Yeah, me too. So if there's nothing else, we'll get into the topic for this week. You guys got anything else you want to touch on?
No. Nope.
All right, cool. We'll get into the topic then. Welcome to the Ohio Huntsman Podcast, where three brothers, Jason, Jacob, and Jeff, discuss all things hunting in Ohio. Our goal is to be your source for accurate and reliable hunting news and conservation issues in the great state of Ohio, as well as some fun and interesting conversations along the way. This is the Ohio Huntsman Podcast.
Are you listening?
All right, so this week it's just Jeff and I, and we are talking waterfowl. So you've heard us talk in past episodes. Jeff is diving into waterfowl this year, and sort of similar to the episode we did a while ago, a few episodes back on how much does it cost to kill a deer. This one is going to be how much does it cost to get into waterfowl hunting, right? Jeff is brand new to this, and I'm sure we'll get into this, Jeff, but aside from some shotguns you probably already owned, you're starting from zero, right?
Right. Aside, I decided last year that waterfowl hunting was something I wanted to get into. And so basically, aside from just general hunting stuff that I already own, I was starting from zero. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, we've talked sort of offline before that there's not a lot that really cross pollinates between, you know, whitetail or squirrel hunting, even dove hunting, right? That sort of can also be used in waterfowl. It's sort of very different requirements, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of specific equipment, just like how deer hunting, requires some specific equipment, trail cameras and stands and guns with scopes, straight walled cartridge rifles in Ohio,
right.
Requires this more specific equipment. Waterfowl hunting is the same.
So is there, I guess maybe let's start with things that you already have that you're planning to repurpose or maybe not entirely repurpose, maybe that's not the right word, but also use to waterfowl hunt with.
Yeah. So the things that I already had that I was planning to, you know, that I'm going to use to waterfowl hunt are shotguns. Okay. You know, I already owned a couple of shotguns. I mean, if I decide that waterfowl hunting is something that I really want to get into, I'm probably going to buy a different shotgun or at least upgrade the, you know, one of the shotguns I have.
Just to something more waterfowl specific or?
Yeah. I mean, sort of the issue I have right now is I have a 870 with a 20 inch barrel, which is far too short really for waterfowl hunting.
Is that one you won at the raffle that was more of like a turkey shotgun?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It was the turkey version.
Right.
Not the one with, because they make two turkey 870s. One has like the thumb hole stock.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a pistol grip stock kind of. Not that one. But yeah, okay. So that barrel's far too short really for waterfowl hunting.
Just because it doesn't produce a good pattern? Or
yeah. Just, I mean, not really even the pattern, but, you know, longer barrel gets you better velocities.
Oh, right. Okay.
Provides a better, you know, sweep, you know, for waterfowl hunting. And it also gets that muzzle away from your ears and away from the other people you're hunting with's ears. I mean, a waterfowl load is a pretty loud shotgun load,
right?
You know, it's not a dove load. It packs a punch.
Sure.
You know, so it's, I really, and then I have other shotguns with longer barrels, but you know, one of them's only a 2 3/4 inch chamber, which is too small really for waterfowl hunting. You know, it's not ideal by any means. So I might, you know, if this is something I decide I really want to do, I might buy a shotgun that, you know, has a 3.5 inch chamber. Maybe buy, I don't own a semi-auto, I might get a semi-auto, you know, things like that.
Okay.
Other things that I already had was like just general like insulated clothes. Camo clothes, okay. You know, stuff like that. And then I own a kayak, which wasn't for hunting purposes ever at all. It was for fishing and just general recreation, you know, exploring, you know, kayaking with my wife in the summer, which I plan to use the kayak as an access. I don't plan the hunt out of the kayak. The kayak I have is not at all ideal for that. You know, to do like a layout blind in or anything like that. Okay. I plan to use it for access. I'll access an area, pull the kayak up on land, or maybe not even pull it up on land, but cover it in camo burlap and, you know, stand outside of the kayak.
Okay.
Which I already had the camo burlap, you know, because my kayak's like a lime green, so it's not a natural color at all. So it would need to be camouflaged.
Yeah.
But okay. Aside from that, those things, I had to buy everything else.
Okay.
You know,
so a few things, just like you said, general things, but basically starting fresh.
Yeah, and even more so than in deer hunting, you know, a lot of people in deer hunting say, like, you know, don't take up deer hunting because you'll go broke. I think that's even more of the case, like the joke among impacts the waterfowl hunting community. Because there's always something better out there. And I think people really like to change and upgrade their equipment, you know, this, that, you know, change chokes, buy a different gun, decoys, you know, I want a different decoys. I want this. I want that.
Well, I am by no means tied into the waterfowl community, but, you know, like the outside looking in, it feels a little bit like it's there's sort of a like a collector's mentality, if you will. Like, I've got these decoys, but I'd really like to have this other set of it's more intricate, finer detail. I've got this call, but I'd really like the, you know, whatever. I've got the plastic one. I'd really like the one that's made out of real wood, you know, and like you start to collect decoys and calls. And that's just my sort of naive, like I said, outside looking in. But I can see how that could be, you know, that all adds up, of course.
I would definitely say that there is a collector's mentality. And, you know, you want something for every situation.
Right.
You know, so I have, you know, these floating mallard decoys, but I want, you know, some that I can that stand so I can use them in a field, or, you know, I need to add some teal decoys to my spread, or, you know, a few wood ducks. And then, yeah, with the calls, it's like, oh, you know, I used this call this year and it was good and I like it. I'm going to keep it on my lanyard. But, you know, my buddy had this call and, you know, I really liked the way it sounded, or, you know, I want a call from this maker, you know, and whether that's a national company or someone local, you know, because there's all kinds of local call makers out there.
Sure.
You know, and some are doing completely custom, some are buying the guts from other, you know, manufacturers and just, you know, spinning their own call off of it. But yeah, there definitely seems to be more of a collector's and more of like the calls and the decoys and everything being like art almost.
Right. Okay.
You know, it's functional art.
Yeah.
You know, to a lot of the people, you know, because that's another. There's a big market. You know, there's a lot of people who are looking for antique decoys and calls, and
yeah,
you know, and they're looking for them for like decorations for their dens, and, you know, just to have as collector's items.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So I guess let's run through, well, I guess before we do that, I was going to say, let's run through, you know, your list, but what resources did you use to learn about all this? Right. Cause we don't, you know, we don't really know anybody personally that does a ton of waterfowl hunting. So how did you, you know, learn that, you know, 2 3/4 shells are not ideal, and, you know, what steps did you take for that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I mean, because I was so green, you know, I've basically looked anywhere for advice, you know, so YouTube, you know, watching people on YouTube and seeing what they have to say, reading articles, you know, from different sporting publications, you know, Outdoor Life and all that kind of stuff. And then down to, you know, more niche websites and chat rooms.
Okay.
And then, you know, a really good resource was, you know, like the Ohio Waterfowl Hunting Facebook groups, and the national waterfowl hunting Facebook groups. You know, because if you watch these guys on YouTube, or, you know, these guys who have hunting shows, you know, they're talking about putting out, you know, like 10 dozen, 20 dozen decoys.
Wow.
And it's like, that's a lot of money. You know, if you
right.
If you need to put out that many decoys, like, I'm not even going to start.
Yeah.
You know, because that's way too much money.
Right, yeah.
You know, maybe I would try to find someone to, you know, go with one time, and or even, you know, pay a guide, you know, to go once a year. If, you know, that's what you gotta, the kind of equipment you have. You know, so, but then I started asking, and on, you know, like the Ohio waterfowl hunting, and they're like, no, that's basically a joke, you know, like,
that
you don't need anything like that, especially if you're just starting. Like, you can start small and build out from there and change and tweak, but just a couple of decoys will, you know, bring the birds in, and, you know, you can kind of get your feet wet and next year buy some more, buy some better decoys or whatever. And then when it came to calls, that was another thing where I really didn't, you know, I'm not very good at any sort of calling. You know, I'm not good at turkey calling. And so I was really concerned about learning to call waterfowl, call ducks, call geese. You know, I was very concerned about that. So I read countless articles. You know, I looked at everybody's list for, like, best waterfowl calls for beginners, best duck calls, best this, best that for beginners. You know, and kind of saw which ones overlapped on everybody's list and made my decisions off that.
Okay. All right. So already sounds like you've done a ton of research and looking into all this. So
yeah,
I guess at this point, let's get into your list.
Yeah. We'll start. So this is what I actually did pay, you know, for all this stuff. You know, when we did the how much does it cost a deer hunt, we kind of looked up prices and, you know, told you our list. Well, this is the prices I actually paid, you know, to get in the waterfowl hunting.
So should I preface this with to let everybody know that you can be quite the deal hunter?
Yes, that's I was going to say that at some point.
Okay.
I, you know, spent a lot of time trying to find deals, and a lot of these prices I got after the hunting season last year. You know, I bought a lot of this stuff in, like, late February, early March.
Okay.
So some of the things I got pretty decent good deals on.
Yeah, pretty good other end of things, season sales.
Yeah, other things I probably paid full retail for. But I worked a lot of different angles to get deals. So I guess we'll start with the call. I, you know, spent a lot of time looking at what the best duck call was for beginners. And basically, everybody's list had two calls on it. And I'm drawing a blank, but there was a duck commander call, a double reed duck commander call. And yeah, I can't remember what that one was called. No. And then there was the Buck Gardner double nasty
which is a double reed duck call. Everybody said if you're a beginner, you need to get a double reed call because you can learn how to make, you know, ducky kind of sounds on it. And if you want to upgrade to a single reed, you know, for a more pure sound, a more raspy, you know, more realistic duck call, you can do that later. But if you don't have any idea what you're doing, you should start with a double reed.
They're just easier to blow or something?
Yeah, they're easier to make a duck noise out of.
Okay.
Yeah, they're easier to blow. They're much more forgiving.
Okay.
And the two I mentioned were pretty easy. You know, everybody said, like, you can't screw them up. You know, you can basically, because it's very common for new callers, you know, people trying to learn how to call, to fill their calls with spit. You know, I still am learning how to not fill my call with spit. And both people said, like, you can fill these things up with spit and they'll still sound like a duck.
Okay.
You know, so they were, so I decided I was going to get the double nasty, the Buck Gardner double nasty.
I ordered it. Name like double nasty, why wouldn't you?
Right. I ordered it from Bass Pro Shop. It was $19.90-something, you know, $20.
Sure.
And actually, when they shipped it, they sent me a Buck Gardner double cross.
Oh.
Which is it's another double reed duck call, but it's a different one. And this was in February, maybe March, because one of the first things I wanted to do was buy the duck call so I could learn how to sound somewhat ducky by next season, because I knew I was going to require a lot of work.
Right.
So one of the first things I wanted to do was buy this duck call. So I bought this in February and they shipped me out the wrong call. And because of COVID, they couldn't, it was a whole issue because, like, they couldn't process a return, like slap a return label on it. It's a duck call. It, you know, they're not accepting returns.
No, okay.
And they're like, so when our stores open up, because I think they're the local Bass Pro shops were closed right at this time for, I think they only ever closed for a few days, but they were closed. I said, you know, when our store opens back up, take it in there and, you know, they'll refund you. Well, I never went through the process to actually return and exchange for the call I wanted. I figured I have this one in my hand and I might as well just, you know, use this one. So I ended up with the Buck Gardner Double Cross. And
okay.
It seems to be, I mean, I don't have anything to really compare it to, but with minimal practice, I was starting to sound relatively like a duck. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable really calling in front of anyone, like, you know, going to a duck blind and calling, because I'm sure almost every other person is better than me, but I can sound something like a duck.
Okay.
So, then the other thing is I needed a goose call too. And basically in
looking for the duck calls, you know, I found a lot of goose calls that were good for beginners. You know, people had, you know, this is the duck call that you want for a beginner, and this is the goose call you want. So I was kind of looking at that, and on everybody's list was for, if you're calling, you know, Canada Goose, was the Primos Canada Goose flute. You know, basically everybody said, like, it sounds like a goose. You can't screw it up. You know,
sign me up.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, sign me up. You know, I just kind of looked and said, you know, like, what, you know, because there was the Buck Gardner, I think Canada Goose, or maybe it was just called the Goose Hammer, that was on a lot of people's lists too. But I looked at this Primos Goose flute and found it from Walmart for $6.
There you
and
go.
It's like, yeah, I'll get that. And I mean, even if it can't be crap, because everybody says, like, just buy this one. So it's got to be at least somewhat good. And it's like, even if I decide I don't like it later, at $6, you know, I can't lose.
Right. Yeah.
So, I had those two calls for a while. And then, I was watching YouTube videos, and they had a guy who was a brand new hunter, you know, like first time ever hunting anything on this one show, and they gave him a 6-in-1 call to blow, and, you know, showed him how to blow it, and, you know, he was part of the action immediately with the 6-in-1 call.
See, you've already got it, man. You already had calls, and now you're already collecting more.
Right, right. So I had to get this call too. Also, I mean, it's 6-in-1, you know. I mean, that's a value.
Right.
It's a little bit hard to, you know, find what those 6 calls are that this thing can do. You know, because they want to tell you, advertise like 1 or 2 of them. Because, I don't know, trying to think of all of them off the top of my head. You can do a pintail, a widgeon, a mallard drake. Pintail, widgeon, mallard drake, teal, a quail call, and a dove call. That's the 6.
Oh, okay.
And finding instructional videos of how to do the quail and the dove can be challenging. But I think most of this year I'm gonna, you know, rely on my decoys and doing the mallard drake call, because I can create that noise very easily, and it's, you know, the way I do it sounds identical to the way that everybody else does it, so I can't screw up. So
sounds,
I think,
good. Sounds like a plan.
I think I'm gonna do that for most of this year. What I ended up getting with the 6-in-1 call was the Duck Commander Pintail Drake 6-in-1 call. I had this in my cart on Amazon for a while before I actually bought it, and noticed the price drop, so that's when I bought it, and I got that for $6 as well.
Good deal.
So that's what I've spent on calls, and that's kind of the area where I got the best deals, probably, was the calls. I mean, the Buck Gardner Double Cross, that's pretty close to full retail on that. you know, you might find it for $5 more. But that's pretty close to full retail. The other two, $6 is probably half of what you would typically find it, you know, if you went into Cabela's.
Okay. Let's pause here briefly and talk about our sponsor, Mastin's Deer Sense. So Mastin's is a deer scent company, and deer season is quickly approaching. So if deer scent is something that you use, have used in the past, or would like to use this year, I encourage you to check out Mastin's. One, because the prices are good. And two, another thing you need to think about when you're using deer scent is, unfortunately, CWD. And Mastin's is a certified CWD-free facility. So they have inspections and things to make sure that their facility continues to be CWD-free, and they maintain that certification. So check them out. They've got liquid deer scent. They've got scented gel crystals. They've got deer-scented candles that you use in their double scent stacker. So lots of different and interesting cool things. Check out mastinsdeerscents.com or ohiohuntsman.com/sponsors. So what all, I guess, before we continue down the list, why don't you give us a preview of your list? So you got calls. I'm assuming you bought decoys. What all did you buy?
Yeah, I bought calls. I bought decoys, both duck and goose decoys. I bought a new choke for my shotgun.
Okay.
I bought weights for the decoys. I bought a jerk rig for the decoys. And I bought waders. All so right. That's kind of those are the things that I ended up, you know, needing. Like, this is kind of the stuff that I kind of thought, like, well, bare minimum to really go out there and give it the good old college try. This is what I think I need.
Okay. So what's next? What do you want to go over next?
Let's go ahead and dive into the decoy area.
Okay.
So like I was saying, you know, a lot of the professional hunters and people who have YouTube channels, you know, talk about having dozens of decoys. both duck and goose decoys, you know, they're putting out multiple dozens, you know, 10, 15, 20. When it comes to goose hunting, you know, you might even be talking 50 dozen, 100 dozen. Wow. You know, those guys are putting out huge spreads. So what I ended up going with, just because I was looking to kind of dip my toes in the waterfowl hunting, and I talked to a lot of people online, and for the duck decoys, I ended up going with the Flambeau Stormfront 2s, which was a dozen decoys, six mallards, six hens. And I ended up finding those on Amazon when there was a price drop for $32 for the dozen.
Okay.
Which is extremely cheap for decoys. I've heard of people walking into their Walmart or their local sporting goods store after the season ended and you know, picking up boxes of decoys like this for like $20-$25. I looked, I sure tried, but didn't find anything like that, any deals like that. I don't think we live in a great region of the state for for waterfowl hunting and then finding, you know, because I went into a Dunham's and kind of asked, like, you know, do you guys have any waterfowl decoys? And they basically pointed to the top shelf of their rack and said, yeah, we got that box there. It's $65, and we've never sold it. You know, and it was, I think it was Stormfront 2s, or, you know, it was a box of a dozen, and they just pointed to the top shelf and was like, yeah, we got that box there. And, you know, you can buy it if you'd like. We can get a ladder over here.
But, yeah, dust it off for you.
Yeah. So I ended up having to wait for a price drop on Amazon.
Okay. So that was the mallard decoys?
Yeah, that was mallard decoys, yeah.
And you said you also bought goose decoys.
Yeah, so in the goose decoy area, I splurged a little bit because I liked the concept of these decoys. They were something a little different than what everybody else is doing. So I ended up going with the Montana decoy, Canada goose decoys. So I ended up paying $65 for those. The reason that I liked the Montana decoy, Canada goose decoys, is because they're a lot like the turkey decoys, where they're all collapsible like that.
Oh, okay. They got like the spring steel inside or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they sell them in packs of a it's a dozen decoys, but you only get three of the ones that are like the turkey decoys.
Okay.
And then so you get three full bodies, and then you get six side silhouettes.
Oh, okay.
And then six. Wait, no. Yeah. Six side silhouettes and then three top silhouettes.
Oh, okay.
Where it's a silhouette, but from above.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's basically just like the outline of a goose from above. And
sure.
The reason that I liked this idea was I thought, like, oh, you know, these would be really good for, you know, I can get a lot of decoys out somewhere. And it won't weigh a ton, you know, so I won't have to drive into a farmer's field or, you know, whatever. And I can hike, you know, I can hike way out somewhere to goose hunt, you know, to kind of beat the crowd.
Yeah.
And then also, if I wanted, you know, I can take a dozen decoys, no problem, into like in my kayak and go out into a wetland.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, after I bought these, because I bought them and I was like, I'm going to look at them, you know, and I'll probably return these, but I want to see, you know, what they're all about. Because one thing that Montana decoys did is their marketing photos of these things are hideous.
Oh, really?
Like, they are terrible. They look horrible. So when I actually received them and saw what they looked like, you know, and kind of had them in my hands, I actually bought a second pack.
Oh,
so
okay.
I bought two dozen of these, you know, which gives me six full bodies, a dozen silhouettes, and six of the top silhouettes.
Okay.
And yeah, I can fit two dozen in my kayak, no problem.
Yeah, that's cool.
I could go out into a wetland, you know, find a, you know, a real shallow area in a wetland, you know, because they're not floaters, but they come on, you know, with sticks, you know, stakes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, so I could find a real wet, you know, a shallow area of a wetland, and I can put out two dozen decoys, just me in a kayak, you know.
Right.
So I really liked the concept that you know, I can kind of go out and beat the crowds, you know, kind of escape the crowds if I want to access a public wetland.
Sure.
So we'll see how they do. You know, that's a little bit of a gamble, you know, because no one else is really doing anything like this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, most decoys are full body, hard, you know, silhouettes. Or you can buy, like, you know, or full body decoys, you know, hard plastic. Or, you know, some people are buying like socks or silhouettes. But I thought, this is a little bit of an idea to do something a little different than everybody else. And
sure.
That price point was a pretty good price point. I mean, for decoys. So I ended up getting 24 of those, and I'm looking forward to trying them out.
All right. So what's left on your list?
Well, when with the decoys, you know, comes decoy accessories.
Right. You know, so the jerk rope and the weights.
Right, right. And I had a plan to make a jerk cord or a jerk rig, just so I could have a little bit of more control over what I had, make it, you know, fit my needs as best as possible. But then I found Rogers, I think it's called Rogers Sporting Goods. They have a location, at least one location, somewhere out west. But they do a lot of online sporting goods sales, and they really focus on waterfowl hunting.
Okay.
So I found that they had one on sale, a Final Approach jerk rig, for like $15.98.
Okay.
So it's like I can't build anything for that price, you know, and I'm not that into having something customizable enough that, you know, I'm willing to pay twice as much and invest my time.
Yeah.
So I ended up buying that because I really thought I needed the jerk rig to put motion on my decoys, because I'm not going to be doing a ton of calling. So I want my decoys to do the calling.
Right. Okay.
So I got the jerk rig to, you know, put motion into the spread to attract the ducks. And then with the duck decoys, I needed weights. And I ended up getting, Texas rig weights. They have a 3-foot cord. I liked the idea of Texas rigs, in hopes that they'll be less tangle, you know, get tangled a little less than other rigs. You know, that's what everybody kind of said, is like, you know, Texas rigs is where it's at. Like, buy Texas rigs, you know, you can easily pick up your decoys and, you know, you don't have to worry as much about them getting tangled up.
Okay.
So I bought a dozen weights. I ended up paying $13 for a dozen, which was a good deal. I ended up getting those from Cabela's. They're Cabela's waterfowl brand. I'm trying to think of what it's called. Northern, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank, but it's Cabela's waterfowl brand. But yeah, that was a really good price. I ended up only paying $13 for them.
Okay.
So after calls and decoys. Then the only other thing I needed was waders. And I bought a waterfowl choke. Once again, because I didn't really already own a good waterfowl gun. So I figured, well, I should maybe at least look for a waterfowl choke. Especially because some of my guns, some of the chokes I already owned, I wasn't positive if they were rated for steel.
All right.
One of them, I still had the packaging on, and it was rated for steel, but it was only rated for steel up to 2 shot. And it's like, well, you know, I could definitely do all my waterfowl hunting with, you know, 2 shot or below, but I'd kind of like to at least go up to BB for hunting goose. I mean, that's, you know, most people say, like, you know, BB's the go-to for goose hunting.
Okay.
So it's like, I'd really like to go up to at least BB. So I was shopping around for a waterfowl choke, and happened to find a guy online who accidentally bought the wrong choke for his gun and couldn't return it. And it was the choke that a lot of the people online were saying, like, oh, you got to get this choke. You got to get this choke. You know, it's the best choke. So he had bought it and couldn't return it, and he bought the wrong choke. He needed the Remington Pro chokes, and he bought just the regular Rem choke.
Oh.
You know, so a pretty common mistake, really. You know, you tell someone, oh, I need the Remington choke, they're probably just going to give you the regular Remington choke, not the Pro. But he wasn't able to return it, so I kind of talked to him and was able to talk him down quite a bit, because it was basically either sell it to me or, you know, basically eat the money, because no one else was interested in the thing. But the choke was a Kix High Flyer Fool choke. And I ended up getting it for $27, which nice. Is at least half of, you know, where you can at least half price.
Okay.
You know, I've seen them on sale for like $60. And yeah, it was a brand new choke, never used. You know, it sat in its packaging for a few years as he, you know, tried to find a way to get his money back. And eventually I came along and offered him something for it.
Yeah.
So, and I've, you know, target shot with it a little bit, and I really like it. It's a ported choke though, and it is loud. It really makes the shotgun bark. It is a very loud, you know, it makes it very loud. I was shocked, you know, because, you know, I'm not worried, you know, I just kind of want to, you know, run a few rounds through the shotgun with this new choke, you know, see how things are going. And I pulled the trigger that first time, and it's like, whoa, you know, my ears are ringing. It's like, you know, and I wasn't wearing hearing protection, you know, and it's like, yeah, I'm definitely going inside grabbing hearing protection.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, it was loud.
Okay. So that leaves the waders then, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the waiters are probably the thing I probably got the best deal on. Because as probably a lot of people know, waiters are really expensive. Especially insulated waiters. But I kind of sat there and watched the prices of waiters online after season last year. And, you know, was waiting for the clearance sales to happen. And I ended up getting from Academy Sports, their house brand, Magellan Outdoors. I got 1,200 grain thinsulade waders for $50.
I don't know, which, but that sounds really cheap.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the full retail price was, but they were at least, you know, full retail, $150.
Yeah, okay.
So it was a really good deal. And I haven't really tried them out yet, so I can't really speak to how good of waders they are. You know, I know that they're a fairly cheaper brand of waders. But they, I mean, at least for my purposes, you know, where I'm just trying to, you know, get my toes wet. I mean, not literally. I hope I'm not getting my toes wet, but, right. You know, I'm just trying to kind of get out there. I thought, they're insulated waders. They're something, you know, 'cause this is just like in deer hunting, you know. If you ask someone what you need, like, oh, hey, I want to get into this. What do I need? You know, they're like, oh, get Sitka. You know, that's what you need. You need Sitka parka. And well, with waterfowl hunting, it's like, oh, yeah, you need Sitka waders. Like, just buy them. You know, you'll never have to buy another pair. You'll be happy. And it's like, yeah, I don't think I need to spend that kind of money.
Right.
You know, dropping $500, $1,000 on any sort of piece of clothing that's a little too steep for me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So what are you into it all told at this point?
So I did the math and it comes out to, I mean, and I rounded up on, you know, rounded up to the nearest dollar, you know, on all the 99s and stuff. But it comes out to exactly $300.
Okay.
I've spent exactly $300 to get into waterfowl hunting.
So there you have it. It cost you $300 if you're a deal hunter, if you're a deal hunter like Jeff.
Yeah. The biggest thing I have to say is, yeah, you gotta, you know, look at, you know, after the season, especially if you have a waterfowl store near you. You know, if your Walmart carries decoys or, you know, waterfowling stuff, like, pay attention to when that stuff is going on clearance and by then.
Sure. Yeah.
Academy Sports, you know, pay attention right around the end of the season and by then, because you can get some really good deals. And, Rogers Sporting Goods, they're doing a preseason, sale right now. And they have some pretty good prices there as well. Nothing quite as good as the end of the year clearance, but you're also not kind of gambling on, what are they going to have? And
right. Yeah.
You know, you kind of get to choose what you want. You know, you can buy what you want, not what they have.
Yeah.
You know, so I was surprised by some of the deals that they had with their preseason truckload sale.
Okay.
So that's another sort of hot tip.
All right. Well, but, we'll anxiously be waiting your postseason review of all this stuff and see how it all worked out for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I went pretty cheap on a lot of things, so we'll see. You know, I'm sure there's probably going to be at least one thing that I'm like, yeah, that was garbage. I should have never bought it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I think even, you know, because the decoys is probably one of the most argued kind of thing, like whether you need, you know, this kind of decoy or that kind of decoy, you know, whether you need to spend this much money or that much money. But I figured with the decoys, like, I kind of get into it with these decoys, and if I decide I want to continue waterfowl hunting, I can upgrade and buy better decoys and use these decoys as filler, you know, sure, for a spread. Yeah. Like, I thought at $32, that's not bad. You know, that's not a huge loss, you know, if I don't like them.
Yeah.
You know, for all I know, these decoys could scare away every duck, you know, that sees them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know. You know, but people basically said, like, having anything in the water is going to attract them. Like, yeah, you know, some decoys may, you know, help prevent ducks from flaring off. You know, you might not get them all the way to land in the decoys, you know, with cheaper decoys, but you're going to get them in, you know, coming into the decoys. They might just flare off at the last moment, you know, and you got to, you know, shoot them at 20 yards instead of 10.
Yeah. All right.
But, yeah. Well,
this has been good. Hopefully it was,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Hopefully it was helpful for somebody. And yeah, like you said, we'll see what happens this fall. That's going to do it for this week. Hopefully there was something interesting in this one. If you're looking at getting into waterfowl hunting, maybe this gives you some idea of what it's going to cost you, what it takes to get into that, and follow along this season as Jeff gets into waterfowl hunting. And, you know, send him any tips or advice you have, and let us know. Let us know what you want to hear. If there's, you know, if you want to hear more waterfowl content or what other topics, anything, right? Any kind of hunting or outdoors related topics. Send us a message. We're Ohio Huntsman on Facebook, OhioHuntsman_podcast on Instagram. You can send us a message there, or use the contact us form on our website. Whatever's easiest for you. Lots of different ways to get in touch with us, and hopefully you all have good luck this fall. And with that, thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.